Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
We're tracking rain and storms for Saturday. It's a WRAL weather alert day with a level 1 and 2 risk for severe storms. I'll show you the timeline. Sky 5 is live over the scene of a huge fire at a recycling plant in Rocky Mount. We'll tell you about the efforts to put out the fire, how they're progressing, and the impact on residents.
And get ready for another all-star lineup of the 4th annual Dreamville Festival at Dix Park. We'll show you the acts that will blaze that stage.
Our next storm system is crossing the Midwest right now and arrives on Saturday with a threat for severe storms. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Renee Chu.
And I'm Ken Smith for Jeff Hogan. Thanks so much for your time this noon hour. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner in the WRA Severe Weather Center with a look at the timing of a severe weather risk.
We're looking at this starting early Saturday morning with rain, but then the potential for severe thunderstorms will end up being in the afternoon, starting as early as lunchtime. I'm going to walk you through it in just a second. The impacts would be heavy rain that could cause some difficult travel, gusty winds that could cause some isolated damage, and a few tornadoes, especially in the level 2 risk area. And that would include Clinton, Fayetteville, Rayford, Southern Pines, Pinehurst. The level 1 risk is the rest of the viewing area, where we'd more likely have just a few isolated instances of wind damage. But in these southern counties, we'd have a slightly better chance of that and a possible tornado. Let's kick things off at around 5 o'clock on Friday. We'll start to see increasing clouds and maybe even a sprinkle or two during the evening. Nothing heavy. The heavier rain doesn't really kick in until early Saturday morning. We start to see it spreading across the area, and it's widespread with some heavy rain moving in at around 6 a.m. All these yellow and orange shaded areas are where the rain is heavy. I wouldn't expect this at 8 o'clock to be severe, but as we move it through time, we'll pause it here at lunchtime. You can almost see a broken line that starts to develop. That's when we'd be more concerned about some severe storms. At 2 o'clock, that broken line is from Goldsboro to Rocky Mount up towards South Hill, and then it moves on by. Now, there are still a few more waves that come through, but I feel like after 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, the bulk of the severe threat is over, and we may continue to have just a few scattered showers behind it. So rain and storms are likely, and looking at a high of about 64 on Saturday, we're going to clear out on Sunday with some cooler temperatures. We'll talk about how much rain we could see from this storm system Saturday coming up. Elizabeth, thanks. We've been tracking a large debris fire at a recycling plant in Rocky Mount that started late last night. Within the hour, we've learned new information from the Rocky Mount Fire Chief. WRAL's Heidi Kirk has been following this story all morning. And Heidi, what's happening right now?
Renee, well, I've been out here since about 8 a.m., and when we first got here, there were thick, black plumes of smoke coming up from right behind me. If you take a look back this way, you're going to see a little bit of that going on, but there isn't much left unless you get right up close, although the fire department did tell us we needed to stay back because that smoke can be dangerous. But this fire has been burning for more than 12 hours now. I want to take you to some video, a look above at Sky 5. You're going to see what's going on right now. Now, just moments ago, the Rocky Mount Fire Chief held a press conference confirming that crews have been working to fight that fire since about 10 o'clock last night. He said there were no fatalities and no risk of any toxins. Now, his main priority right now is just getting that fire 100% controlled.
It would take a little time, just all in the effort from our crews, and we're doing a good job of doing that. We pretty much have the fire contained, for the most part, about 75% contained. And just to take a little time and effort from our crews, and I'm sure we would definitely have it contained within the next few hours.
Now, the fire chief also told us that there's an investigation ongoing to determine the exact cause of this fire. And, of course, we'll continue to give you live updates throughout the day as this unfolds. Renee.
Firefighters have been busy for hours there. Heidi Kirk, live in Rocky Mount. And happening right now in the WRAL Live Center, some breaking news out of Spring Lake. The town there has fired their police chief. They say that Dysianique Spellman is out. In a letter they released, they say the decision aligns with internal protocols there. Chief Spellman has been with the department for 8 years. They did thank him for his service there. They say they are actively addressing their staffing needs, and the search for a new police chief will begin immediately, ensuring a smooth transition and sustained leadership with the department. They say right now in the interim, the department's operations will be overseen by experienced senior officers there.
One of the UNC football players facing charges in connection to a deadly crash in January was in court today. Zachary Rice was in an Orange County courtroom for his first appearance. WRL's Monica Casey takes us inside that courtroom.
Zachary Rice is charged with possession of alcohol under the age of 21, driving after consuming alcohol under the age of 21, and speeding.
Rice and his attorney were in this Orange County courtroom for his first appearance today. Rice did not speak at all during the hearing. He's charged in connection with a crash that killed UNC student Molly Rotunda at the end of January. Court documents show his car was just 15 yards behind the one Rotunda was in, which was driving 124 miles per hour. Seven people face charges related to the crash, including the driver and employees of Still Life Bar in Chapel Hill. Rice declined to speak with us outside the courtroom as well.
Rice's next court date will be April 19th. In Hillsboro, Monica Casey, WREL News.
Attorneys for the two men charged in the murder of Wake County Deputy Ned Byrd appeared in court today. This is the case involving Arturo Marin Sotelo and Alder Marin Sotelo, who are brothers. Neither was present for today's hearing. A trial date has not been set. Attorneys say Alder Marin Sotelo has not returned from Mexico, where he was captured, and they have not spoken to him since last April. Deputy Byrd was shot and killed after investigating a suspicious truck in August 2022. In a couple of hours, a Wake County judge is expected to hold a hearing for the teenager accused in Raleigh's Headingham mass shooting. The judge will check in with legal representatives for the accused shooter, Austin Thompson, as well as the state's legal party to determine a timeline for the case moving forward. In January, new evidence, including police body camera video from Thompson's capture, was released.
Looking ahead to Raleigh's biggest music festival, Dreamville 2024. It's always headlined by North Carolina rapper J. Cole, but today we are getting a first look at the other performers coming to Dick's Park next month. Brian Schrader is here with a look at the big names featured at this year's festival. Brian.
Now we got that list around 10 o'clock this morning. Take a look at who's playing. The Saturday headliners are SZA and Chris Brown, and the Sunday headliners are Nicki Minaj, as well as the festival's founder and Fayetteville native J. Cole. This is the fourth year of the Dreamville Festival at Raleigh's Dix Park. Here's Sky 5 video from last year's festival. Organizers said 50,000 people attended each day of the two-day event last year. They came from all over the world, 23 countries, and they spent a lot of money in the Triangle, a big boost for downtown Raleigh businesses that weekend. Now, if you want to go this year, it's April 6th and 7th at Dix Park in Raleigh. Tickets are on sale right now at DreamvilleFest.com. Ken, it is always a big weekend.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people already making plans. Yep. Brian, thanks.
Governor Roy Cooper this morning asked State Board of Education members to help advocate for more funding for public schools. He's worried public school funding has stagnated while state lawmakers pour money into private school vouchers. He says that could hurt future economic development.
We won't continue to be first in business if we become last in education.
I'm concerned about the students and the parents inside of that system. And I'm not concerned so much about a sound, basic education. What we want is excellence.
Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson is on the State Board of Education. He's hoping to succeed Cooper as governor. He supports private school vouchers while Cooper does not. But Robinson agrees with Cooper that teachers need to be paid more. Today, the Durham Public School Board will be looking at its budget priorities for the next school year. This comes after months of controversy over employee pay. Board meeting materials show school leaders plan to talk about increasing classified salaries with new schedules next school year. Last month, the board approved 11% raises for the rest of this school year. That still leaves many employees making less than what they were getting at the start of the school year because of those budgeting issues. Interim Superintendent Katie Moore is expected to present the budget proposal on April 11th.
It's being called a high-stakes State of the Union address. Tonight, President Biden is expected to use the occasion to lay out issues he will reiterate on the campaign trail. Americans can expect the speech to address big themes like Mr. Biden's attempts to restore democracy, as well as changes his administration has enacted, such as fighting credit card fees and lowering prescription drug costs. You can watch the State of the Union live right here on WREL and Fox 50 starting at 9 tonight. We'll have full coverage on our 11 o'clock news right here tomorrow morning.
And happening right now in the WREL Live Center, PNC's $300 million renovation project is moving forward. This afternoon, the Centennial Authority, which owns PNC Arena, had a special meeting. And at that meeting, they gave their approval to negotiate a contract with the architecture and design firm Gensler and LS3P to be the lead on this $300 million project. They now have to negotiate a contract. The renovation project is slated to begin in the summer of next year and be finished sometime in 2027 or 2028.
Lots more to share with you this noon hour. Rolling out the red carpet for movie's biggest night, we'll thumb through the pages of a new memoir that spans 50 years of Oscar moments, all next noon.
Also, what a Microsoft whistleblower says about the company's artificial intelligence systems and why he was concerned enough to contact the federal government.
And the steps lawmakers in Alabama are taking to ensure in vitro fertilization providers are protected from legal liability after a controversial Alabama Supreme Court ruling.
Keep watching WREL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.
And happening right now in the WREL Live Center, Sweden has formally joined NATO as the 32nd member of the Transatlantic Military Alliance. Sweden's Prime Minister and also Secretary of State Antony Blinken, they presided at a ceremony in which Sweden's instrument of accession was deposited at the State Department. Blinken saying this is a historic moment for Sweden. Our NATO alliance is now stronger and larger than it's ever been. And Sweden's Prime Minister saying we are now a safer country. Later today, Sweden's Prime Minister will join President Joe Biden at the White House for his State of the Union address to Congress.
The North Face company is offering customers a discount if they complete a digital course on racial inclusion. The North Face says the course focuses on perspectives of race and racism in Europe. In addition to the course, the company will also provide training and resources meant to help make the outdoors a more welcoming place for everyone. An official from the Heritage Foundation, a conservative think tank, took the course and called it offensive. Those who complete the course would qualify for a 20% discount. Friday is International Women's Day. It's also the day people in Ireland will vote to remove language from its constitution about women's duties in the home. Some consider the Irish government's reference as being sexist and outdated. Many Irish women support the change in wording, while others don't see a need for it.
Well, the iconic red carpet returning to Oscar for Sunday's big night. Last year, you may recall, the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences went with a champagne-colored carpet. It was the first time in more than 60 years that the rug was not red. Well, it's back to tradition for Hollywood's big night. Mark Barker reports on a memoir that captures some of the greatest moments of the ceremony from the past 50 years.
A new set of Academy Award winners will have their names engraved on statuettes Sunday night.
Wow!
An honor that's still Hollywood's most coveted.
No other entertainment award really has that much importance where Academy Award winner is put before your name for as long as you live.
Dave Karger has covered the Academy Awards for nearly 25 years, and he's interviewed several dozen winners for a new book, 50 Oscar Nights.
Putting this book together felt like inviting dozens of fascinating people to a party and getting so excited whenever an RSVP would come back.
Elton John, Halle Berry, Meryl Streep, Julia Roberts, and Nicole Kidman were among those sharing their Oscar experience.
They all had such great speeches or great stories behind the particular movie and performance that they won for.
But Karger found for some, winning was a mixed bag.
Jane Fonda, of course, was very happy to win her first Oscar for Clute, but at the same time, she felt very guilty that she had an Oscar while her father, Henry Fonda, didn't have one yet at that point.
In one case, conflicting emotions came later.
Mira Sorvino was thrilled to win for Mighty Aphrodite, but in the years since, the kind of troubled legacy of Harvey Weinstein has clouded her Oscar win.
But for any winner, the statuette marks a milestone.
Now it's official.
I really got the sense that all of these winners really feel the importance and the gravitas of winning an Academy Award.
Feelings others will experience Sunday night. Mark Barker, NBC News.
By the way, Jane Fonda's father, Henry Fonda, did eventually receive an Oscar for Best Actor in the 1984 film On Golden Pond.
North Carolina's vibrant arts community enriches the cultural tapestry of our region. Percy Alexander is the recipient of the Chatham Arts Council's Arts and Equity Grant. He explains how Big Night In for the Arts promotes and strengthens the artistic and cultural development in our area.
It makes us feel that we belong here, that we are welcoming here, that our work is appreciative, that we have something to say, and what we have to say is also valid.
Join us tonight to celebrate and support our local arts community when WRAL presents Big Night In for the Arts, featuring amazing artists including Pierce Freelon and Tift Merritt, a live performance by award-winning bluegrass musician Trey Wellington, and more. Help us raise funds to create healthy, vibrant communities through the arts. Watch and donate tomorrow at 7 on WRAL. It really is a win-win. Mm-hmm. Just watch from home and enjoy exactly. some great music and donate.
Yeah. And before you do that, be sure to get out and enjoy the beautiful day today.
Oh, for sure. Mm. Look at it's oh, finally nice to see some beautiful sunshine and big puffy clouds out there. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner, though, is looking ahead to our severe weather risk for the weekend.
Yes, Saturday's a WRAL weather alert day. We've been tracking Saturday all week, knowing that we would have some rain and possible thunderstorms. The computer models are starting to diverge a little bit, and I'll show you that in just a second. But let's talk about what we could see. We have a level 1 and 2 risk for severe storms that was issued by the Storm Prediction Center early this morning around 4:30. The timing, it's going to rain all day, but right around the middle of the day to the middle of the afternoon is when we'll have the best chance of seeing some of those severe storms, which will likely include heavy rain, possible gusty winds that could cause damage, and isolated tornadoes. Here's, again, a look at the outline if you missed it earlier. Our southwestern counties here in the Sandhills are in that level 2 risk. This just means we'd have a better chance of some wind damage or isolated tornadoes, and that includes Clinton and Fayetteville, Rayford, Southern Pines, Pinehurst, and the rest of the viewing area in a level 1 risk means that we would have maybe an isolated chance of some wind damage. So check out Futurecast. We'll kick things off at around 5 o'clock tomorrow. We should start the day with some sunshine and then end up with increasing clouds and an increasing chance for rain. But during the day tomorrow, our potential for rainfall is minimal. By the time we get to midnight, we start to see more of that rain pushing in. You can see it's scattered at 2 a.m. By the time we get to 6 a.m., it is widespread, and the yellow and orange color contours are where it's likely to be heavy. Eventually, that's going to be where we'll have the best chance of seeing storms, but I don't think that we'll have any severe weather in the morning. It's likely to begin right around lunchtime. You can see sort of the back edge of this wave coming through. And so that's going to be noon. We'll pause it at 2 o'clock, and then it's going to be in our eastern counties. And then there's another wave that comes through a little later. That one is more like 4 or 5 o'clock. Again, there couldn't rule out a few storms that could be severe at that point. Once we get past 5 or 6 o'clock, we may have a few scattered showers behind it, but that should be the end of our severe weather threat. So we are always talking about the European model versus the American model. So the European model is showing more fuel for thunderstorms because of the placement of the warm front. If the warm front moves northward, we'll have a better chance of having an unstable air mass that could bring more fuel for thunderstorms. The American model, on the other hand, suppresses all of that down to the south and gives us a much lesser chance of having a severe weather threat. So we'll continue to watch. We have all day tomorrow to continue to watch all the new runs of the computer models that will come in. So just keep checking back. Here's Roxborough, and it looks cloudy, but we actually have a lot of holes in those clouds. 69 is our temperature at the airport. We may actually end up with temperatures a little bit warmer than that. Watch how the clouds really started to fill in. We had beautiful clear skies this morning at 9 a.m., and we're seeing that cloud cover starting to fill in. So we are seeing some holes in the clouds with a little bit of sunshine peeking through, but we will see variably cloudy skies for the rest of the day today. Temperatures are mainly in the mid to upper 60s right now. We'll hit 70 or low 70s in Raleigh, 69 Durham, 71 in Fayetteville. 60 is our normal high. As we get into the weekend, those temperatures will turn cooler with the rain on Saturday, and then Sunday, behind that system, we're looking at a high of around 60 degrees. Heavy rain is going to be an issue for us on Friday night and Saturday. I'll show you how much we could see in the rain gauges coming up.
Elizabeth, thanks. Coming up on WRAL News at 5 p.m., play is an essential part of childhood. But for kids in the hospital, it may be even more important. We'll show you several ways that play can actually help in their recovery.
And tonight at 6, sports gambling now just days away in North Carolina. WRAL investigates the science behind sports betting odds and your chances of scoring big. A new news continues now, though. The new class of NASA astronauts completing their training. After the break, a look at the newest talent in space travel and how to be considered to join their ranks.
And the beeping of hospital equipment sounds urgent, but might have the opposite effect on healthcare workers. Why constant ringing could actually cause missed alarms and a possible solution for that coming up. A Microsoft engineer says the company's artificial intelligence systems should be removed until offensive images can be addressed. Shane Jones is a principal software engineer who's worked at Microsoft for 6 years. He's been testing the company's AI image generator in his free time and says he's disturbed by his findings. Jones warned Microsoft that the product called Copilot Designer frequently creates sexual and violent content, but says Microsoft is not taking appropriate action. He sent a letter to the Federal Trade Commission criticizing Microsoft for marketing the tool as safe, including for children. Meta is overhauling how Facebook recommends videos across Reels, Groups, and the main Facebook feed. The company is using AI to power its recommendation algorithm and plans to use it in all places that show video. The head of Facebook says this is part of a technology roadmap for the next few years. Meta has made competing with TikTok a top priority ever since the video sharing app exploded in popularity. Facebook says when it tested the new algorithm, watch times went up by about 10%.
Police in New Jersey say they've recovered $400,000 worth of illegally purchased SpaceX orders. Officers say a man used stolen credit cards or hacked billing accounts to buy Starlink terminals from the company. The devices are often used for satellite internet service in remote areas. Police say the man illegally bought 675 devices, had them delivered to a home, and then taken to another location where he planned to resell them. Only a third of the devices have been recovered. NASA's newest class of astronauts now ready for their space-filled adventures. The latest class includes scientists, doctors, researchers, engineers. They were chosen 2 years ago for more than 12,000 applicants. Now, after making the cut, they moved to Houston for training. They learned about the various space station systems, how to speak a little Russian, and of course, how to operate the robotic arm on that space station. They're preparing to put what they've learned into space action.
The science that we're doing on the International Space Station, there's nowhere else in the universe that we can do that science. So we're learning things about medicines, about the human body, that space gives us a laboratory to work in that we don't have on the ground.
It will be at least 1 year until any of these astronauts head to outer space, though. Applications for the next class of astronauts are now open.
President Biden delivers the State of the Union address tonight, and some North Carolinians will be among the special guests in chambers. We'll have a preview. Plus.
She had me down, and she bit my arm, and she was on top of me. I thought I was going to die.
Broken bones, dozens of stitches, but alive. A woman lives to tell the story of her face-to-face encounter with a black bear and her three cubs. And as we head to break, here's a look at your winning North Carolina Education Lottery numbers.
Shot in 4K ultra high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
From working on the farm, turned maid, and now a special guest at 109 years old. What an American story and inspiration. Her presence at our nation's capital embodies the very essence of why we have the opportunity to assemble.
That was North Carolina Representative Don Davis saluting Ms. Cassie Smith on the floor of the House this morning. The 109-year-old from Eastern North Carolina will be his guest of honor during tonight's State of the Union address. Well, Ms. Smith is just one of the guests from North Carolina who will be on hand.
Biden's speech gives him a chance to frame the early stages of a likely general election rematch with former President Donald Trump. White House aides say Biden will highlight the post-COVID economic recovery and lay out the administration's plans to revamp the tax code, expand housing supply, and reduce the federal budget deficit. We just mentioned Ms. Cassie. WRS Kelsey Coffey tells us more about her and the other special guests from North Carolina attending tonight's State of the Union.
North Carolina will be on the national stage tonight for the State of the Union address. The family of this Chapel Hill man, Keith Siegel, will be there tonight. Keith and his wife, Aviva, were taken by Hamas during the October 7th attack. Aviva was released, but Keith is still being held hostage. Keith's sister and niece are representing the family tonight. They'll be Senators Ted Budd and Tom Tillis' guests. Both senators say they're working to bring Keith home safely. And Representative Don Davis from North Carolina will also be bringing this special guest tonight. That's 109-year-old Cassie Smith. You heard that right, 109 years old. Davis says she voted on the first day of early voting and is a living symbol of our democracy. Ms. Smith lives in Brattleboro. You can watch the State of the Union address right here on WRAL and Fox 50 tonight at 9. Kelsey Coffey, WRAL News in Raleigh.
Senator Katie Britt will deliver the GOP response to President Biden's State of the Union address. She was the youngest Republican ever elected to the U.S. Senate and the first woman from Alabama when she won her seat in 2022. You can watch the State of the Union live on WRL and Fox 50 starting at 9 tonight. We'll have full coverage on our 11 p.m. news and right here tomorrow morning.
Well, today, the Durham City Council will consider a new way to make sure that all 911 calls are answered. Right now, Durham has an informal emergency backup relationship with the Raleigh-Wake Emergency Communication Center. Calls that went unanswered in Durham would go to Wake County. Well, Durham now wants to switch to a formal partnership with Fayetteville. The City Council agenda cites shared infrastructure, technological similarities, and a similar size and capacity as reasons for the switch. Council members will discuss the potential change at today's work session. We're working to learn the identity of five people arrested after an early morning police pursuit. Take a look at this map of the scene in Wake Forest. Police say there was a shooting on North Allen Street. When officers arrived, a group of people jumped in a car and drove away. There was a chase ending about 2 miles away at Carroll Joyner Park on Harris Road. That's where police arrested those five people.
Tonight, Cumberland County Schools and Fayetteville Police are addressing gun violence among teens. Students and their families can attend an event at Douglas Byrd High School in Fayetteville. A video created by the police department will be shown, aimed at teaching young people how to resolve conflicts. The event is for students in grades 6 through 12. Doors will open at 5:30. The main presentation starts at 6. There will be a final showing later this month at Terry Sanford High in Fayetteville. Next week, the WRL documentary unit debuts Unsafe, North Carolina Kids Dying from Gun Violence. It sets out to uncover why kids in North Carolina are 51% more likely to die from gun violence compared to young people living in other states. The documentary includes a personal story from a family who experienced the grief of gun violence firsthand. You can watch it on WRL, online, or on the app at 7:30 next Wednesday, March 13th.
Alabama Governor Kay Ivey signed a Republican proposed bill to protect in vitro fertilization into law Wednesday night. The action comes after weeks of backlash prompted by a controversial Alabama Supreme Court ruling that embryos are considered children. As Jonathan Seary reports, some clinics plan to resume services quickly, while others express significant caution.
The governor of Alabama signing a new law Wednesday evening, immediately following its passage by the state legislature, giving legal protections to IVF providers and patients, shielding them from civil and criminal liability in the event that embryos are destroyed.
It's been hard on the physicians, hard on the staff, hard on everyone involved in the care, and most especially hard on the patients.
This following a ruling by the state Supreme Court last month saying that embryos created through in vitro fertilization are considered children under state law, and those who destroy them could be held liable for wrongful death. The ruling prompting IVF clinics throughout the state to stop treatments.
We don't have, you know, unlimited time to wait, so we just really want to give it a try and see if we can have another baby.
Upon signing the new legislation, Governor Ivey saying in part, quote, "Let me say clearly, Alabama supports growing families through IVF. From protecting the unborn to supporting IVF, Alabama is proud we are a pro-life, pro-family state." Republicans in the state legislature proposing the bill in an effort to resume treatment at clinics across Alabama, the bill taking effect immediately once it was signed.
What we're doing right now is just trying to play lawsuit whack-a-mole.
And that was Jonathan Seary reporting. Now, some legal experts worry the new bill doesn't go far enough because it does not specify whether frozen embryos created via IVF have the same rights as children under state law.
Tonight, a play showcasing the early days of Apex opens as part of the town's 150th anniversary celebration. Forged in Fire will play through March 17th at the Halley Cultural Arts Center on North Salem Street. The town shared this behind-the-scenes video on social media as the cast made its final preparations. Many performances are sold out. Tickets are still available for shows next Thursday, Friday, and Saturday night.
Hey, what's up, North Carolina? Support the local artist in your community. Watch Big Night In for the Arts on WRAL.
Yeah, hey, what's up, Kelly? Yeah, that's Kelly Clarkson. She's getting behind our push to support the local arts community. Join us tonight for Big Night In for the Arts. It's an hour of performances and creativity, raising money for local arts councils. It airs tonight at 7 right here on WRAL.
A cool shout out from Kelly herself. Acne treatments are supposed to help clear up your skin. The ingredient One Lab found in many of those products that it says is dangerous for your health.
Also, planet Earth keeps breaking heat records every month. The dangers that come with such a streak. And if you see news happening or you'd like to share a story idea with us, click Report It in the WRAL News app.
The FDA has cleared the first over-the-counter continuous glucose monitor for adults. The monitor, made by Dexcom, is not meant for people with problematic hypoglycemia or low blood sugar. The continuous glucose monitor provides insights into blood sugar levels impacted by diet and exercise. Experts say it advances health equity by bringing care into homes. An independent lab that tested popular products to treat acne found alarming levels of benzene, which is known to cause cancer. The lab found high benzene levels in both prescription and over-the-counter treatments in brands such as Clinique, Clearasil, and Target's Up and Up. Some products tested at hundreds of times above the FDA limit for benzene. The lab is filing a petition with the FDA to recall the products.
Research shows constant beeping in hospitals is a serious issue, even resulting in patient deaths. Hospital workers can hear up to 1,000 alarm sounds in one shift, leading to desensitization and missed alarms. Now, to fix the problem, researchers have been experimenting with adding musical qualities into alarms. Beeps that use softer, percussive sounds were found to be less annoying and still easily identifiable. Well, last month was the planet's hottest February on record, according to the European Union Climate Monitoring Service. February was 1.77 degrees Celsius warmer than in pre-industrial times. This continues a nine-month streak of record-breaking temperatures and caps off the hottest 12-month period in recorded history. Experts say this grim climate change milestone provides evidence the world needs to drastically reduce emissions.
And happening right now in the WRAL Life Center this afternoon, we are learning that power lines have ignited the massive wildfires across the Texas panhandle. Utility provider Xcel Energy said its equipment appeared to have sparked the Smokehouse Creek fire, and the Texas Forest Service also saying that the fire was indeed ignited by power lines. It was the largest blaze in the state's history. It burned nearly 1,700 square miles and destroyed hundreds of structures.
A woman describes her near-death encounter with a black bear and her cubs.
I'm screaming, you know, someone please help me. I'm screaming at the top of my lungs. It was terrifying.
Coming up, the nightly routine that led to the attack.
And from a black bear attack to a shark attack, a surfer recalls his terrifying encounter off the coast of Honolulu and what he did to escape without serious injuries. A Pennsylvania woman is sharing an amazing story of survival after she and her dog were attacked by a bear. She says she stepped in when she noticed the bear and its three cubs interacting with her dog. As Detara McGee reports, that's when the bear came at her.
She had me down and she bit my arm and she was on top of me. I thought I was going to die.
Leanne Galante came face to face with a bear and lived to talk about it. She's got the scars to prove it.
She was pulling so hard on it, I thought I was going to get scalped. And when it turned out, she pulled so hard that it did pull the skin from the back of my ear, and I have stitches back there.
The 55-year-old dental hygienist was at her home in Butler Tuesday evening and let her 7-year-old Pomeranian Smokey outside around 8:30. They'd seen black bears in the neighborhood recently, but Galante had no idea a mom and her 3 cubs were in her backyard. She heard commotion and knew Smokey was in danger. She tried to get him inside in what became a fight for their lives.
I'm screaming, you know, someone please help me. I'm screaming at the top of my lungs. It was terrifying. I really thought that, that was going to be it.
She doesn't even remember how she made it back inside to call 911.
I don't even know how I moved that fast. You know, I thought, I'm not going to make it. She's going to get me. And she was very, very powerful and very, very angry.
Smokey has a few scratches and went to the vet today to get checked out. Galante's doctor says she's lucky.
She has a fair amount of puncture wounds on the back of her neck, on her arm itself, and pretty significant tears or lacerations across her scalp. And she also has several broken bones of her nose and her face.
She's expected to make a full recovery, and with a trip to Italy planned in a month, she isn't letting a little bear attack get in the way.
I gotta make it happen, even if I look like this. I mean,
oh, how terrifying was that? That was Jatara McGee reporting. Now, police found the mother bear and her 3 cubs in a tree nearby after the attack. The Pennsylvania Game Commission had to euthanize the mother bear because she continued acting aggressively. The cubs are expected to be released to an unknown location.
Leanne deserves a getaway to Italy. That isn't the only amazing story of survival. We're also hearing from a man who encountered a shark off the coast of Honolulu and lived to tell about it. Matt White has been surfing for 30 years. He says he has never come in contact with the shark. That is, not until Monday. White says the shark bit his board and kept shaking it until he fell off. He says his first thought was to kick and punch the shark, so he used both his feet to shove the shark as hard as he could. White says he couldn't believe the shark just swam away. He didn't waste any time jumping back on his board and paddling as fast as he could.
It's really, really rare to see sharks out, but they're always out there. You just don't see them. I was looking at my leg, looking for blood. I just couldn't believe that I didn't get bit. I was just in shock and disbelief that I didn't get injured somehow.
Officials confirmed it was an aggressive 8 to 10 foot tiger shark that bit Matt White's surfboard. Shortly afterwards, Ocean Safety placed shark warning signs along the shore there. Oof. But can you just, both those stories, Can you imagine the surge of adrenaline for both those folks?
Your survival instincts just kick in.
Sure. And glad they were able to make it on the other side of such a scary situation.
I want to turn attention out to the forecast. We've got a situation brewing in the next day or two. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner and the WS Severe Weather Center tracking it all for us.
Yes, we're hoping this is not going to become scary, but we're going to be tracking this for you all day Saturday and letting you know how things are transpiring. But let's talk about what we're looking at. It's a weather alert day for Saturday. So we have a couple of days to watch this. A level 1 and 2 risk in our area. Rain all day long, but a better chance of severe storms in the afternoon. Heavy rain is likely with this, and then we could see a few instances where we have some wind damage or even an isolated tornado in our level 2 risk. The big question here is how far north will the severe threat go? The level 2 risk stretches well down into South Carolina. The question is it going to affect our viewing area? Of course, the Storm Prediction Center has put our southern counties in that level 2 risk just to cover the bases. So from Clinton to Fayetteville to Rayford to Southern Pines and Pinehurst, you're in that level 2 risk. Everyone else in the level 1 risk, where we'd have a lesser chance of seeing storms, but 1 or 2 could produce some wind damage. Let's take a look at what's happening out there right now. Our system from yesterday is pulling away, and back to the west is the next one. So we're looking at a little break in between the storms, looking at partly cloudy skies this afternoon and increasing clouds tomorrow as the system moves northward. Right here, interestingly enough, most of the stronger thunderstorms with this are on the north side of that warm front, but this is going to be where we actually have less stability in between that cold front and the warm front. And watch what happens. We're going to start with the big picture. This is going to be late Friday. We'll watch this moving northward. So if this low pressure system that starts down here to the south moves northward and pushes that warm front across our area, that's going to put us in an area where we're more likely to have severe thunderstorms. Now, if it ends up that all of this moves farther south or all of this tracks farther south, then we don't get up underneath this warm front and we'll have a lesser chance for seeing some strong to severe thunderstorms. And we're still looking at all of this moving out and bringing us a quieter day on Sunday. So Saturday morning at 2 a.m., we're watching that rain spreading across the region. We're watching the yellow and orange color contours. That's an indication of some heavy rain between 6 and 8 a.m. And then we'll start to see the line beginning to develop, likely a broken line there at lunchtime, pushing into our eastern counties by 1:30, 2 o'clock. And then after that, we'll have a couple more waves, and all of it ends at around 6 or 7 o'clock in the evening. So 100% chance of rain for us on Saturday, and then after that, we dry out a bit. So we take a look at our futurecast rainfall for this system, likely to see anywhere from an inch to an inch and a half. That is likely to be enough because the rain will fall so quickly that we could see some minor flooding in places that tend to flood pretty frequently. Goldsboro seeing mostly cloudy skies. Same thing in Apex, Chapel Hill, and Fayetteville. And I say mostly cloudy because there are a lot of clouds out there, but there are definitely places where we're seeing some of the sunshine peeking through. On Saturday, looking at mid-60s, don't forget Saturday night. Of course, we push ahead. We end up moving back to daylight time over the weekend. And then Sunday and beyond for next week, we're looking at sunshine with a warming trend. We'll be right back with your top stories.
As we wrap things up, here's a look at a few of the headlines we're following today.
Firefighters are still working to fully control a large debris fire at this Rocky Mount recycling plant. The fire chief says crews have been working to put it out since 10 last night. He says there were no fatalities and no risk of any toxins. The department is still investigating what started the fire.
In about 2 hours, a Wake County judge will hold a hearing for the teenager accused in Raleigh's Headingham mass shooting in January. New evidence, including police body camera video from Thompson's capture, was released. The judge will check.